there are people now joining the workforce who have always had access to the internet. They have always been connected. And what's going to happen is they're going to be thrown into an office where there are people that are going to be 40, 50, 60 who, for them, the internet is something that's only come about in the last 4 or 5 years. And how these people work together and the tools they will choose to use is really going to influence how companies perform in the coming years.
And we're, I mean, I'm 40-something, but a fairly digital native guy. And we're already seeing some of that. You get these people who go, oh, I don't touch a Kindle or an iPad. I only read books. I mean, it's that kind of thing that you're talking about.
It is, that's right. And I think, especially when it comes to the way that people work, so you and I, you know, we use email a lot. You know, we probably used FTP in the past when we're trying to transfer files around. You know, a lot of people now, you know, they're not going to want to communicate and collaborate using email. You know, email is effectively an awful collaboration.
So, right.
You know, you send a file to 5 people, you get 5 versions back, and you spend the best part of your day trying to knit it all back together. What these guys are going to want to use is some storage in the cloud. They're going to want to talk about it using Yammer. They're going to want to share it on Huddle or Dropbox, and then they're going to want to distribute it to perhaps their wider network using Facebook or Twitter. You know, the traditional rules about content distribution and dissemination are being broken down incredibly quickly.
And yes, that's true, although these young little whippersnappers, they all text, which is not a collaborative environment either.
That is true, but you know, when they're texting, they're not really collaborating, they're communicating. But, you know, we see, I was at TechCrunch 50, which is a big tech startup conference in San Francisco just this week, and I think there were at least 3 companies there who were pitching the idea of group texting, but powered by the web. So, you know, they're taking the endpoint, in this case the mobile phone that the whippersnappers, as you call them, are using, and making it easy for them to actually collaborate by using that endpoint. But when you think about the phones that people have now, so, you know, when I look at the iPhone that's in my hand, texting is only just one of the many ways that I can communicate with people. You know, I can tell my friends where I am using Foursquare, I can upload photos using Facebook, and I can share content using a tool like Huddle, for example. And if we cast it back 5 years, then yes, it would have all been about text, but phones are much richer now, and you only have to look at the advent of the iPad and the tablets that are coming out to realize that the power that's going to be at people's fingertips, no matter where they are, is huge. I mean, the other thing about the digital natives, it's not just the tools they use, but it's also the freedom that they want. It's the ability for them to work wherever they are. They want to be able to work when they're
mobile
on the bus home. Well, they want to be able to work from the beach. They don't want to be tied to a desk.
And they want to be able to work when they want to work.
That's right. I mean, I don't know about you, but I am addicted to email. I mean, it's the bane of my life in that I wake up at 7:30 in the morning, and the first thing I do is I open up my iPhone and I read my emails that have come in overnight. Because we do, you know, most of my company are based in London. By 7 o'clock in the morning, I'll have 6 emails to read, and then the last thing I do before I go to bed at night is check email, because anybody that's up early in London will already start sending it. You know, and I think I'm pretty typical as well. You know, I'm not a hugely heavy email user. This is just the way that people are doing business now.
And it is that collaborative nature. If you want to see somebody who gets this stuff or doesn't get this stuff, it's a question of, do they send around the one Word document and everyone comments on it, and you have 70 people attached to it, or do they just use a Google Doc, for example, and say, okay, everyone add their stuff there? Those are the kinds of things that you're seeing, starting to see.
Absolutely, and this, it mirrors almost perfectly the way that people were using these tools in their social life. Because if you, again, kind of cast your mind back 4 or 5 years, it wasn't uncommon for people to send an amusing video around. So you'd get like an MPEG or a WMV file, 6 megabytes, hits your inbox, takes forever to download. You'd look at it and you think, actually, you know, that's pretty damn funny. And then you would forward it on to all of your friends and colleagues. You know, the only person that ever sends me a video now is my dad. Everybody else forwards me a link to YouTube.
And he sends it on a CD that he's put through the mail.
That's right. Yeah.
The question is, how do these two, you have these two folks, you know, the folks who have never seen phones with cords, and then the folks who, you know, are still using phones that have dials on them, for goodness sakes, how do these two groups talk to each other?
they're in the office, they will talk in the same way that everybody's has always done.
They'll gather around the water cooler.
Gather around the water cooler and talk about the person that they don't like.
Right.
I think though that you know, that most people you meet in business that, you know, are smart. You work with people because you think, you know, they're good people, right? And smart people pick up things quickly. And often it's not the case that these people don't want to try new technologies. It's just that they haven't been introduced to them. You know, you show them a better way of doing something which makes their lives easier. People latch onto it incredibly quickly. So it's really just a case of that initial education and then just letting it run wild.
So you're there in the Silicon Valley, I'm here in Washington, and in the government space, we've had a lot of the Silicon Valley kind of thinking come in the last couple of years, and it's interesting because now you're starting to get people say, hold on, why is this government stuff take so long? Why does change take so long? I think it's kind of akin to this cross-generational workforce. It's that thinking like, well, come on, let's go. I have emails and it happens immediately. And not everything works that way.
No, and I think, you know, there are very, very good reasons why U.S. government or government generally has been slower to adopt this. You know, there's all sorts of security issues. There is the problems of IP leakage, everything that, you know, that big companies suffer from as well. But people realize now that, you know, there are things that you can put in place which will give you all the benefits of having, you know, cloud and social technologies, but delivered in a way which are secure enough for government or for big business or, for, you know, really government anywhere in the world. I mean, two examples that spring to mind. Firstly, Google Apps have just announced their tool set for U.S. government, which has been specially written and specially hosted for use inside U.S. government. And they, you know, that then basically gives anybody inside the U.S. government access to the same types of tools that people have been using all over the world for a couple of years now, which has made everybody so much more productive. You know, we do, with Huddle, we do a lot of work with U.K. government. We have great spread across something like 70% of U.K. central government departments, and you know, we had to go through an awful lot of accreditation, but we were built from the ground up to be ready, you know, basically business ready. We're not a social tool which is trying to be business. You know, we are a tool for business, and I think that's very important.
We're talking to Andy McLaughlin. He's co-founder and global vice president of Huddle. Am I saying that correctly? Am I?
Well, you know,
I do it wrong, of Huddle, and I want to make sure and get the name right. So when you're out there talking to these, you know, 40 or 50-year-olds, and some of them don't always get collaboration, what do you tell them? How do you get them to wade into the collaboration pool?
So I think, like when you're selling almost any kind of solution, using a buzzword will work for people that understand it. Collaboration can mean a million different things, though. And so, when we're selling to governments or selling to big companies, we are trying to sell them on the solution that they need to fix for the problem that's there. And so, quite often, it'll be coming back to the example I gave before. You know, you have a set of documents you're working on with 10 people. You need to be able to access them from wherever you are. Some people are working inside your agency. Some people will be working inside another, and say, look, you can send those files around by email, but you know, because this has happened to you, that you'll get all those versions back and you'll have to collate them yourself and you'll lose your weekend doing that.
Yeah.
But by putting them up into the cloud and collaborating around them, you know, there's the kind of the magic C word, all of a sudden your life becomes easier. And if you can sell people on something which makes their lives easier, people buy.
And when people actually see this happen on Google Docs or whichever platform you want to use, and people are jointly working in a document together, at first you can see it in their eyes, they're scared. Like, who is changing my document?
Mm-hmm.
And then they slowly go, hold on, all of a sudden, we can talk about what's the best way to write this or what's the best spreadsheet to use or something like that. And we can do it right there in a collaborative way, work together and do it rather than having to get together and have a meeting to talk about how we're going to do this.
Absolutely, and we talk about the magic moment when somebody, you know, their eyes light up and they realize that this new piece of software they're using, which they may have been slightly scared of to begin with, has all of a sudden made their lives easier. And if you can get that magic number across, that magic moment across a number of people, that's when you have real buy-in.
Okay, you get a 30-second spot. What does tell us about Huddle?
So Huddle, and you have to excuse my accent, it's HUDDLE.com. I think if I'm speaking to Americans, I go Huddle.
Yeah, right.
Understand me. But Huddle is a network of online workspaces, so a private place online where you can work with people inside your company, outside your company, partner suppliers. You can collaborate on documents, you can plan projects, share files, hold online meetings, and work better together.
Andy, anything I didn't ask? Anything I didn't ask you that I should have?
No, I think we covered it all. I think, you know, for anybody though who is thinking about looking at technologies like this, you know, give it a go. You will find that they make your life, your business life, so much easier.
When sometimes the low cost or sometimes no cost of this freaks people out.
Absolutely. People think, well, you know, if it's free, it can't be any good.
Right.
But, you know, the people that run these businesses, they understand how to leverage the freemium model.
They
get people using it for free and then paying afterwards. And these technologies will blow your mind. They're generally terrific.